Trinity is not a word that you're going to find in the Bible. Go through the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Pay attention to every single word. You won't find it there. And yet the church rightly says that those who deny the Trinity are not Christians. If you reject the doctrine of the Trinity, you cannot be saved. But why? Why does the church put such an emphasis on a word that the Bible doesn't even use? And why do we say that salvation depends on how you think about the Trinity? Well, even if the Bible doesn't use the word Trinity Christians, it certainly teaches what we mean by it. Take our gospel reading for today from Matthew chapter 3. We hear starting in verse 16. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Matthew never uses the word Trinity there. But what do we see? We see Jesus in the river. We see the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. We hear the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son." It's very clear here that there are three distinct persons, because Jesus is not the Spirit, not the dove coming down from heaven. The Spirit is not the voice that comes out of heaven. And the voice is not the Son who is in the Jordan River. The three are different from one another. And yet it is also clear that God is here, because we're told that the heavens are opened. And Jesus sees the Spirit coming down out of heaven. He does not see an angel. And he hears the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son." So God reveals himself in this way. And Matthew 3 teaches us the doctrine of the Trinity, even if it doesn't use the word. Well, let's take another example. The very end of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says in Matthew 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Again, Jesus doesn't use the word Trinity. But what do we hear? We hear, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Three distinct persons again. Because if they weren't different from one another, why would Jesus use three different words? And yet, at the same time, Christians, there is only one God. Because Jesus does not say, "In the names," plural, "of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," as if they each had a different name. He does not say, "In the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit," again, as if they had three different names. But he says, "In the name," the singular, "in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." They all have one name. That is God. So Matthew 28 teaches the doctrine of the Trinity, even if it doesn't use the word. Or take our epistle reading from 1 Peter. Peter says in verse 2, "According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood." Peter doesn't say Trinity. But what do we see here? Peter is clearly talking about God because he's greeting his readers in the name of God. And we know that Peter would not dare to put anyone at the same level as God that wasn't actually God. I mean, Peter does not say the foreknowledge of God the Father and the blessing of Peter and Paul. He doesn't say anything like that. He knows better than to try to put a mere man or a mere creature on the same level as God. So when Peter says the Father, Jesus, and the Spirit together, it shows that this is indeed God. This is the one and the only God who has revealed himself to us as one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1 teaches the doctrine of the Trinity, even if it doesn't use the word. And we see this truth all throughout the Scriptures, even in places that I would call hints, little hidden ways that show this truth about God, which are not really clear in themselves, but in the light of these other things become clear. Take our Old Testament reading, for example. Aaron is commanded to speak a blessing on the people of Israel. And he says in Numbers 6, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Why does it say "the Lord" three times? It could be that it's just poetic, but knowing what we know from elsewhere in the Bible, we see that it's not just poetic. It's something more. Aaron is commanded to speak the one name over the people three times because God is three in one. Yeah, if we only had this passage, it would be hard to see. But with all those other passages, this hint becomes clear. Or to use one more example, all the way from the beginning of the Bible, we're told in the very first verses of Genesis, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." So here in the very beginning of all things, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit is there hovering over the face of the waters like a bird hovering in the air. And God speaks so that by that speaking, by that word, all things are created. And John tells us that Jesus is the Word who was with God in the beginning, and the Word who made all things. So in this hidden way, right at the very beginning of the Bible, we see the true nature of God, that he is and always has been and always will be one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, that's enough examples for now. I mean, I could go through the entire Bible, but that would take all day. So we need then to consider our other question. Why does the church say that salvation depends on what we think about the Trinity? I mean, the doctrine of the Trinity, after all, is not an easy thing for us to understand. The doctrine of the Trinity teaches us that there is one God, yet in three persons. And the persons are as distinct from one another as I am from you. And yet there is only one God, so that as the Athanasian Creed says, there are not three gods, but only one. It is, in fact, a very deep mystery. So am I supposed to be able to understand this then, if I'm going to be saved? Is that what we mean? Well, if that was the case, Christians, who could be saved? How can we, as mere finite creatures, possibly understand the nature of the true infinite God? No, this is not talking about our understanding. Salvation does not depend on how much I know or on how smart I am. Rather, it means that we must believe in this as a truth. This is who God has revealed himself to be. And by calling on the name of the Most Holy Trinity, we will find the way to everlasting life. Let me put it a little bit differently. Salvation is found in only one way. As God says in Isaiah 45, "There is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." So Christians, if we want to be saved, we have to turn to this God and only this God. Salvation cannot be found anywhere else. And that means that God is not who I want him to be. God is not what I say about him or whatever I want to call him. It is not enough for me to say that there is a God if I do not also say that he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We must call on the name of this God, this one specific God. He alone is our Creator. He alone is our Redeemer. He alone is our Sanctifier, because he alone is the Lord. Besides him, there is no other, and we have no other name by which we can be saved. Therefore, Christians, we must think thus about the Trinity, because the Trinity alone is God. And in this God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, will we find the way to everlasting life. Let us pray. O most holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, lead us to confess your name alone, because you alone are God, both now and forever. Amen.